This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Brandon Graham show at 6, as is every Monday night. Then the Players Lounge with Ike and Hugh, Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot joined me with the Brandon Graham show as well. That is happening at 7. Every Monday at 4, joined by Donovan McNabb. Donovan brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Tire and Service. Go to unitedtire.com. That is unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Donovan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Hold on, Five. Come on, dog. Come on in a little hotter than that now. Come on in.
It was one loss.
I think y'all already heated up over there, so I'm going to keep you calm today.
Well, listen, man. At the 10 straight wins, right. they lose yesterday. Man, so many different things happened in that game yesterday. We talked to you. So every week about quarterback play. We know Jalen went down early with a concussion, but Kenny Pickett coming in yesterday. What did you think of how Kenny Pickett played yesterday in that situation?
I thought he did an excellent job of coming in with limited reps of the week and then also being efficient. I mean, just moving the ball around, getting the ball to AJ, and then obviously our run game is something that we leaned on all throughout the game, obviously, with our starting quarterback down. I think the thing that kind of hurt us was the fact that we didn't have the RPO game where we had the threat of our quarterback being a runner, a possible runner. So defensive ends were just collapsing and forcing us to either get 2 yards or possibly get tackled behind the line of scrimmage. But I thought as a backup, he did exactly what you needed to do in order for most guys who don't get a lot of reps in the week and then be called to duty. I thought he did an excellent job of putting us in position to win the game.
You know, Donovan, you mentioned, not having that running threat and the RPO game. They seem to still, hand the ball off as if that's what they were doing, just without the threat of running. What did you think of them sticking with that formation and that style of offense with Pickett rather than Hurts?
I don't have a problem with it, but I think one thing that we limited Kenny in that regard because he can run. I think we failed to realize coming out of Pittsburgh, he had a few scrambles in his day that he was able to pick up some yards, and he was asked to do that a little bit with the Steelers. But I would have loved to see him pull it a couple of times just to at least put a little threat to the defensive end and also the defensive coordinator that he can run. And so, for me, I didn't have a problem with it, but I would have loved to see at least a couple of times Kenny, tucking it and going for about 5 to 6 attempts.
Yeah, that I think we were all sort of curious the same way because Pickett is not a statue back there. He can move.
No, he's
and
not.
It didn't. I couldn't figure out whether it was an effort from them to make sure that he didn't get hurt, and that's why they didn't do it, or whether that was his decision or not. You know, on the defensive side, they did get turnovers, but Washington moved the ball pretty consistently, especially in that second half. What did you see out of the defense and why Washington was able to take advantage the way they were?
I think we were undisciplined. Undisciplined on defense with our emotion, undisciplined with our defense of being in the gap, undisciplined in the secondary. And we haven't been able to say that all throughout the season. I think that's what cost us. We gave opportunities to Washington all throughout the game and also in the first game we played. But this one was really magnified because losing Jalen put more pressure on the defense to be able to step up. But I thought we were undisciplined. It was kind of rare the way we played, and it led to obviously losing the game at the end.
I was a little surprised, Five, that we didn't tackle better against Jaden Daniels in the open field. We've seen a couple of scrambling quarterbacks. We saw Russ, not as much of a runner as Jaden. We saw Lamar Jackson a couple weeks ago. And I thought until that last drive in that game, we had done a pretty good job on him. What did you see yesterday from Daniels and what they did offensively with him running the ball? Nine rushing attempts for 81 yards. Most of them looked like they were quarterback scrambles, not many designed quarterback runs in there.
Well, I've seen us in coverage. And any time that you're in coverage and you're not spying or possibly playing some type of man where you might green dog the linebacker, that leaves running lanes. And for a guy like Jaden Daniels, who's more of a pocket passer than he is of a kind of a scrambling guy, and he has the ability, there were running lanes. And so he took full advantage of it when called to duty. I think, they did a great job of their play calling and when they had him actually run. But, you know, you give credit to the way that he's been playing all season. And there's a reason that he possibly could be the rookie of the year this year, because he's played that way and he's put them in position to win games. And it's been a shock for him, for the Washington Commanders, and the way they've been playing. So kudos to them. But I thought we were a little undisciplined on defense. Obviously, second week in a row where we got some of our young guys doing a little bit too much of talking and too much of the antics. And then it led to our secondary where our safety started to be a little bit too much with it as well, and got ejected out of the game.
Donovan McNabb with us, as he is every Monday at 4 during Eagles season. Donovan, you mentioned undisciplined on defense and the personal fouls. The Eagles had 4 personal fouls on defense yesterday,
right?
Two of them from CJGJ getting him thrown out of the game. Ultimately, right, whose responsibility is that? Is that a coaching issue? Is that a culture issue? Is it like, how do you get that message across to them that to stay on the right side of that line?
Well, I mean, there's got to be some penalty, because obviously, you know, when our defensive tackle did it last game with the slap in the face against Pittsburgh, and this is uncalled for when we had the little argument on the sideline, which, you know, a lot of people didn't really blow it up, but, you know, when you see that happening as a defensive tackle, or as a defensive tackle, you got to be smarter than that. And then the defensive line coach got to put, you know, call them to the carpet a little bit. So we can point the finger at anybody, but as a player, you got to be smarter than that, because you put your team in a bad situation.
All right, man. Listen, I said earlier they won 10 straight. They lose that one yesterday. Realistic chances of getting the number one seed seem to be very, very small. But
right. They
can still win a division. They're the number two seed and have a chance to at least have 2 playoff games at home. What are you thinking about the team moving forward after yesterday? You still feel pretty much the same about the team, or is there any concerns you have right now?
Only concern that I have is just kind of when this happens. You know, obviously you want to go into the playoffs with momentum. I think we can overcome this. I think we're still in great position to put ourselves in that number one seed. If not, definitely home field advantage, and then be able to win the games that are called to duty and put ourselves in an NFC championship game. So I'm not really too much worried. Only thing that I was worried about is just when it actually happened, and hopefully it just doesn't spill over. We have to be cleaner on defense and offense. We got to be smarter so we don't put our team in a bad situation and take advantage of the opportunities that are there.
One more, Donovan. Assuming Kenny Pickett has to play this weekend, we won't know until later in the week with Jalen and concussion protocol. How confident are you, based on what you've seen from Pickett, not just this year but previously, that the Eagles can go out and be a good enough offense against Dallas to win that game?
Well, I'm confident in him. As long as Kellen Moore don't try to force the issue. Because I think when you get in this situation, obviously as a backup quarterback, we all know that, you know, people get to bark and put a ball. And, you know, it leads to the quarterback just kind of staring down that receiver, in which we don't want that to happen. But I think we have to continue to lean on our run game, set up our play action, and be able to take advantage of that in our passing game.
All right, Donovan. Well, Merry Christmas. We won't talk to you before, obviously, but appreciate you being with us so far this season, and have a great week with your family.
Merry Christmas,
happy
brother, to you and the
you
family.
You guys, too. Merry Christmas.
All right, there he is, Donovan McNabb. You know, I actually think, as far as Pickett goes and the way they call the offense, it almost seems like they, And I know you were texting us, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. It almost felt like they were a little scared to let him throw the ball at certain times.
I think early they were, for sure.
Especially after the interception, maybe.
Yes.
But when the run game wasn't work, if there's one thing Pickett did particularly well yesterday, I would say two. There are two things that struck me that Pickett did well. One was the short passing game. I thought he did a great job. The ball did. Baldy mentioned it earlier. Came out quickly.
Yep.
Was most of the time right where it needed to be, and I thought he did a good job that, and not putting the ball in harm's way when that happened.
Yep.
The second thing was, and A.J. loves this, is when A.J. had, whether he's open or not.
Hey, throw it to me, man. Listen, that's all the bully has been saying, man. Throw it to me.
1K always open, man.
Yeah, I don't give a damn if he owned me or not. Throw me the ball.
Yep, and we end up with, I think, three pass interference penalties on one drive. I think they were all on one drive.
Yeah, I felt bad for Lattimore out there a while. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, man, A.J., it's a rough day for you over there, buddy.
Yeah.
The one pass interference, I was like, are they going to call that offense or defense?
Right, because he had his hand on
yes,
him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But
listen, we got the benefit of those calls, so I can't complain about that.
No, I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'll take
it. We got those.
And AJ's going to get the benefit of the doubt,
should.
I think,
exactly.
A lot of the times there.
Yep.
All right, 215-592-9494.
Damn, how did Smitty drop that ball?
I know. Well, and the thing is, when somebody makes a mistake like that, there's really nothing you can say.
No.
He just dropped it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be mad at him. Can't be mad at him. He almost never drops anything.
Yeah.
He knows he dropped it.
Well, he makes every tough catch that there is to make.
And that's what he said after the game, too. He's like, I made all the tough catches and dropped that one.
Yeah.
He said, there's no teaching at this. I just dropped the ball.
Yeah. And
yeah.
He
dropped the ball.
By the way, they might have scored on that play if he catches that ball.
Because he was running.
Yes.
Like he's catching that in stride. It was a perfect throw right over the middle. Yeah, obviously his concentration there, and maybe he took his eyes off the ball a little sooner and was thinking about getting up the field, but that's the only thing I can say. Usually when a receiver drops a pass like that, that's usually what happens.
He was thinking about scoring.
Is that, yes, he was already thinking about catching it and getting up the field with the ball as opposed to looking it in and securing the catch. Something he's done a million times. Like I don't need to tell Devonta how to catch a damn ball. He's done it a million times. That's just one of those momentary lapses of concentration that happens.
When he dropped that ball, I knew we were going to lose.
Oh, we all did.
Yeah.
I looked, dude, I sit there, I looked at my daughter. I'm like, oh, my God. We know what's about to happen. She doesn't know. She's not old enough to know that these types of things are. You can anticipate what's coming next.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's
just like when Saquon dropped it. We knew what was about to happen.
And I know you don't.
In the Atlanta game.
In the Atlanta game.
Yes.
I just wanted them to go for it on fourth down.
You know what? That's interesting, Spike. In the moment, I was saying kick the field goal. It wasn't really until you said that earlier. I was like, well, they had the lead already. It is a chance to go for the win. I mean, that's essentially what Dan Campbell did in that game. Who were they playing? Was it Green Bay they were playing?
I think it was the Green Bay.
Yeah, I think it was Green Bay they were playing. That's essentially what he did.
And they had been driving on us. All second, like
right.
All second half,
having that feel, knowing that you can't really, and dude, another freaking bad kickoff, man.
Yep,
this had to be the worst game of kickoffs all season long.
Special teams wise, it was the worst game.
I never paid this much attention to it. The kickoff literally got my attention yesterday.
Well, that's how bad all
of them were.
The first kickoff of the game doesn't land in the landing zone or whatever that.
You get the ball at the 40-yard line.
Yep.
Oh God.
I feel like that underneath passing game was there the whole time. It was the one thing Pickett was doing well.
AJ on the slant.
Yeah, just.
But it does open you up to a field goal beats you.
It does.
And it's fourth and five.
It does. It was five.
Man. Yeah, it wasn't. Or was it fourth and five?
I just looked it up. I just make sure. It was fourth and five.
Yeah, do it anyway.
Yeah, bleep it.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. He took down another one of the WIP Afternoon Show in the fantasy playoffs.
Who let him on?
Yoshi in Brewery Town, you're on WIP. What's up, Yosh?
My man, Spike! Big Eye! Jacket, baby!
On Lizardo Day, no less.
Lizardo Day.
Yo, he kicked your ass, Jack.
I scored 130 points. He had a good day.
Hey, man, you lucky I was going with my heart yesterday and I
said, shut up. Shut up.
I would have scored more than Spike Askins did this week, baby.
And no one else scored Spike.
You wait till next weekend, no, buddy boy.
I would have this week. I still got a chance to outscore him tonight. I still got Jordan Love going
Damn,
tonight.
Damn, you still got a quarterback going tonight?
Did he put like 160
points? The percentage is 99% chance of win. Look, I've been farther away all the way through this, baby. You know, I might not even win next week, but I am happy that my good friends have called me a fraud for like 8-9 weeks straight. And I made it. I beat the Big Ike Reese in the first round. I took down Face Wash Fritz in the second round, and now I'm in the championship. I have won already. Whatever goes now, whatever happens, it happens. I'm a winner already. I got people on Twitter rooting for me, people calling me saying, take down Spike. I'm not taking down Spike if I win because you hate him. It's because I played a good game. Like, Spike, everybody wants me to beat you. They already put you in the game. They want me to beat you because they don't like you. And I'm over here like, no, he's a good guy. I want to win, but he's a good guy.
What is this, reverse psychology? What are we doing here?
Well, the fact, Yoshi, yes, the fact that you say yes, you've already won, that's loser talk.
Yeah, I need Spike to spice this thing up. Yeah. Yes. What are we talking about here?
Well, I gotta get through tonight first.
Well, you listen.
That's why I brought
listen.
You cake today to sweeten you up.
Listen, you've also already won because you're already in for next year.
Oh, is he? If you get to the finals?
Well, he's the top. He's the top. So if you win, you're in. So consider this you versus him. He's already won.
Oh, right, because I'm in.
Yes, because you're already in. So Yoshi is already in for next year.
Well, congratulations, Yoshi.
Yeah, we have to bear him again next year.
Well, that's fine.
Hey, Spike, I mean, you know I'm good entertainment for this
league. Oh, you are.
You're way better than OG Wade.
Yep.
Oh, no, listen, you are prime entertainment, brother. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Man, I got to bring the excitement to OG Wade. What's saying he is not in, he's not relevant to this conversation.
No, he's out. Yeah, he's out.
And I'm a little extra glow, and I had to bring my wife today so she could see everybody, what's name, see how I was looking when I walked down there.
I know it's anniversary weekend, buddy. I know it's anniversary week.
Uh-oh.
Hey, and she's sitting right here next to me. I told her when we were sitting at the table. I said, I already told the boys, it's mandatory. It's a mandate.
Oh,
she's sitting there with a smile on her face now, clenching her butt cheeks, because she know it's going down.
This is awful.
Holy cow.
Yep.
This guy.
Yep.
Hey, She know how I am.
And now we all know.
Yeah, it's great.
Hold on. No, do not bring me into this. Do not.
Mike Reese knows what you're talking about.
Do not bring me into this.
Oh, the one time you don't want to call her to bring up, you know what you're talking about.
She know what I'm talking about. And real quick, after I get Ike the cake, Ike gonna look at me, what's in this? Like, I would not put no libations in your daggone cake.
It's gonna be a rum cake. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Mayonnaise cake.
Mayonnaise cake. It's something to eat, nothing but cake. You know what it is. Hey, man, hey, but for real, though, I love y'all cats, man. Before I get off this phone, I want to say, like, I truly love y'all. I appreciate y'all. What's that? And I want y'all to have a Merry Christmas. What's that? Y'all some of my favorite people in this world right now. And I want y'all to enjoy y'all family. Have a good time, baby. Hey, Spike.
Yeah.
See you next week, baby. Jack. Yeah. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing.
Still going.
I'm the man.
All right.
I'm the man.
Just don't hurt yourself this week.
Yeah. Take it easy.
Yeah, don't pull your back out.
Yeah, you're getting older. You don't want a hammy at all this.
I'm strong, and I'm about to get my thing on.
Oh, all right.
All right. Okay. All right. He's got to go. Right. He's got to go.
No more, the oysters in here.
Yeah. Yeah, Yoshi took down Ike.
Yeah.
And Yoshi took down Jack. Now, I'm not in the finals yet,
I'm 52 points up, and James has two players going tonight. So I have my fingers crossed.
Would you stop?
That'll be tight.
It could happen. You never know. I don't want to jinx anything.
He's 52 points up.
Well, yeah, but you never know.
Who's playing for him tonight?
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs and Jaden Reed.
All right.
It's possible.
Don't let Josh, dude, it's going to be a blowout tonight. Josh Jacobs?
It is possible. No, you're right.
Yeah.
30-some points?
I'll take you. Yeah, Jacobs will get you two touchdowns easily.
Yep.
And you're right, Spike. Don't celebrate too soon.
Yeah. Josh Allen, for an MVP season, did not come in an MVP way for me yesterday.
That was a struggle against those feisty Pats.
Feisty Pats.
13.5 points from Josh Allen yesterday. I didn't need Brian Thomas Jr. to save me. In what I believe is the greatest collection of wide receivers ever on one fantasy football team. I just want to say that's all.
All right.
Just want to make sure everyone knows
everyone's got to hear
that I have the greatest collection. Speaking of great collections, we will take your calls, 215-592-9494 on the Eagles' loss. The Phillies did make a move this weekend.
Hey!
And Jack will tell us about our new starter next. He's very excited. I saw his Twitter video. He's out of his mind.
That video was out of control.
Yeah.
And they just made another move.
Oh, wow. Is Dave Dombrowski is still working?
Soto?
Sono. Okay. Sono.
I was gonna say, is there another one?
All right. So we'll have the info on the new Phillies moves and your calls on the birds. 215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. If you need a last minute holiday gift, a Chickies and Pete's gift card always hits right. Everybody loves them. You can get them in person at any Chickies and Pete's location or online at ChickiesandPete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's a Monday, so we're at Chickies on Packer Ave in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show coming up at 6. Myself, Elliot Shore Parks, BG, and then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, yep. Hugh Douglas, and Elliot Shore Parks, and an Eagles player.
Well, we think.
We think.
Well, you could get two old-ass Eagles players.
You guys will definitely be here.
Yeah. At least two former players.
We'll be here for sure. Yes.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google five-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Was yesterday's loss a big deal? 76% say no.
That's going down.
It's going down. I don't want.
I think it was at 80.
It was when we started.
Yeah.
There's two, and then we'll get to Jack giving us a Phillies update. I know. There's two things here where I think people are getting confused on whether it's a big deal or not. Mm-hmm. On one hand, you can be still confident in how the Eagles play. I don't think coming out of that game yesterday, any of us think less about how good they are on either side of the field. They lost Jalen. They did have a lot of defense injuries throughout the game. Sweat was off the field for a while. Slay was off the field for a while. We think they'll clean those things up. But it is a big deal in terms of the one seed, and it was a winnable game. And I think they made a lot of avoidable errors in a game that ultimately can change the course of a season. Now, they can go out, beat Dallas, beat the Giants, but I know it sounds easy, and it sounds like, but to go from the chance to play only two playoff games to having to play three, potentially Washington again, by the way, and then potentially most likely not having the NFC Championship game at home when it's two dome teams that you could have gotten out of their home stadium, mm-hmm. in that you can still be confident about the team and understand that loss yesterday has major implications and was a major loss. I think it was a big deal. I think it was a big deal because I thought they shot themselves in the foot a bunch of times, and it was a game that has major playoff implications. So who knows if the Lions would have lost again, which we needed them to do. Mm-hmm. But now we need them
to lose. And Minnesota.
But now we need them to lose twice. Detroit to lose twice, and we need Minnesota to lose once, I think, as well. So the chances are slim. And I just think in a year where you want to win the Super Bowl, you want every advantage you can have, and they lost one of those advantages yesterday.
Yeah, but here's why I believe people are still very confident in the team. A, they didn't lose with their starting quarterback. So it's not like Jalen went out there and had a game where he threw two or three interceptions, they lost, and now we're harping on that. And you almost have built-in excuses with the loss yesterday. And I can't fault Eagles fans for understanding that and even if you want to call it coping, I'm okay with that because I would much rather have the fan base do that than overreact as if everything was lost yesterday. We can't lose perspective on this football team. Jalen went out after 11 plays. CJGJ got thrown out of the game. What was that? Second quarter? When did he get thrown out? Third quarter?
Second quarter.
He's thrown out of the game. There were a lot of crazy things that happened in that game, and it still came down to the last second of the game.
Yep.
So if you're an Eagles fan, you're saying, man, all of this stuff happened, and it still was a three-point game. And that's on top of even if the Eagles had won out, they still needed help from other teams to get the one seed. So the scenario that you just painted, Spike, still could have happened with the Eagles winning.
Absolutely.
Like, that scenario still could have happened with them winning.
Absolutely.
I think that's why people aren't necessarily feeling as downtrodden about the game. Jalen doesn't have a serious injury. He should be back next week. If not next week, certainly the week after that. They get a week if they have to play with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett looked good enough that if given a week, we can feel good about playing the Dallas Cowboys with Cooper Rush as their quarterback.
Yes.
In our building.
I should hope so.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So. Like we had a couple years ago with Gardner Minshew.
Yep.
Where I was like, eh.
He had one good game,
he
right?
He did, But
well, he cooked the Jets.
It's relative, though. Yeah, it's like,
yesterday actually was a lot like the 2022 game down. No, remember the 22
in
game
Dallas,
in Dallas?
Yeah, I do.
Where for some reason the defense just couldn't get a stop, even though that was a historic defense.
Yeah, and that was actually a game Gardner looked.
He did?
He looked okay in that game.
Yeah, people forget that game when they bring up the Saints game where he got picked off on the 5-yard line to Marshawn Lattimore.
When AJ was mad, he checked to that play.
Dude, AJ smoked him.
Remember
after
that?
The game. Yeah. Dude, him and Lattimore is a fun.
That's a nice run. Listen, Lattimore's young now. At least they'll be going against each other for the next couple of years.
215-592-9494. Do you think yesterday's loss was a big deal? Now, before we get back to the phones, the Phillies have been pretty busy.
Oh, I forgot.
Jack.
Cooking.
All right. Tell us about the new Phillies.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Says Jackie Baseball.
Well, it was an awkward lead-in. So Buzz is caught off guard, which is fine.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Yeah.
So real quick before we get to Jesus Luzardo, should have led the show, but whatever. We'll deal with the Eagles. They just signed Joe Ross. I know you're saying,
who
the hell is Joe Ross? Joe Ross is
made up, not a real guy.
He don't even sound like a real name. Yeah.
Well, his brother is Tyson Ross. He was a big prospect, and then Joe Ross came along. In 2015, he was dope. Like 2015, 2016, Joe Ross was a problem.
Did you say he was dope?
Yeah, he was dope. I was a huge Joe Ross guy. But either way, he had a resurgence last year with the Milwaukee Brewers. The only reason I'm bringing him up, they gave him 1 year, $4 million as a swingman, a bullpen guy slash starter. Continue to wonder about a Ranger Suarez trade. Even after the Jesus Luzardo trade, that was my first reaction was, okay, well, what does this mean for Ranger? They haven't really found that bat yet. You know, they signed Max Kepler. Could a Ranger, boom, headline of a package, does that get you some kind of bat? I don't know.
Yeah, who?
What a headline that is.
Well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about Ranger, I think there are three signs that they were going to trade Ranger Suarez. Sign number one is when they gave the extension to Chris Sanchez and nothing for Ranger. Mm-hmm. That was sign one. Sign two is when he signed with Scott Boras. Mm-hmm. And then
that's probably a bigger sign right there. Yeah.
And then sign three was the acquisition of Luzardo.
Yeah. And sign four is the signing of Joe Ross.
Right. Well, Ross seems more like a Turnbull.
He is a Turnbull type, sure. But, again, the difference between this year and last year is that Andrew Painter's coming. So unless their plan is just put Andrew Painter in the bullpen and let him use his innings up that way, that he could be the big reliever on top of maybe Jordan Romano. There's something more here. I don't think the offseason's finished. Feels like there's a finishing move coming.
Sure.
Soto?
Well, we know it's not that. That's,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm more or less like, well, for what? Like, for who's a targeted bat?
That's the issue.
Right?
It would be made for a big end, a back end of the bullpen piece.
We're still trading for pitchers?
A bullpen piece.
Well, it's still a pitcher, though, right?
It's a pitcher, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many pitchers are we going to have?
Well, hold on. 2011 team won 102 games.
No, I'm just saying we're giving up Alec Boehm in a trade. That's taking one of your better hitters out of the lineup.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, maybe not at this point.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that
that's my only thing.
Yeah. Either way, the pitching staff's in really good shape. So yes. Jesus Luzardo.
Yeah. Tell us about that because you were pretty excited.
Yeah. So he's at one point was the number one prospect in all of baseball. He's been bumped around a little bit. 2 years ago, he was really, really good. Last year, he had the back surgery that he had after the year that shut him down almost midway through. He has top of the rotation stuff. I mean, we're talking about a guy who could be the number two on this team after Zach Wheeler. He has that kind of stuff. There's obviously some risk here. Like, it would not have cost Starlin Cabo last year. It would have cost much, much more. So they got him, I think, at a discount. But there's a decent risk, but a really, really high reward. And they're really banking on some of these bounce back guys. And if they hit, the Phillies are going to be really good. If they don't hit, it could look a little bit like last year, but Jesus Luzardo has legit top of the rotation type stuff, and to get him for Starlin Cabo, who I think is a really good prospect, but it's a kind of a hefty price. When you have a chance to get a guy like Luzardo, I think it's a really good steal,
even after back surgery.
Yeah, well, he's young enough. Well, he is young enough. I mean, it's not gonna derail his career.
Well, back surgery can derail your career no matter. Look, it's a. You'd say it's medium risk, right? Because Cabo wasn't going to be in the majors for another few years anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, we got a lot of pitchers. Can any of them hit?
No.
Luzardo play third base is like a Ohtani situation.
They still don't have a true cleanup hitter,
right?
But it's all right. They're gonna. They made his strength stronger.
Okay.
Over the weekend.
215-592-94. Pete Alonso still not signed, by the way.
There we go.
I know.
Still not.
Market's still very dead on Pete Alonso.
I think Pete Alonso, if he's going to take a discount deal, will take it somewhere other than New York. You can't get punked by the franchise that you've spent your entire career there and have them negotiate you into nothing. He's got to go somewhere else and prove them wrong.
And you want that to be here.
I want that to be here, and I want Bryce to move to the outfield. 215-592-9494. Khalil in Germantown. You're on WIP. What's up, Khalil?
Hey, Ike. It's like Rip. First time caller, long time listener. How you doing?
What's up, Khalil?
All right. So I just want to get to 2 points real quick. One of them about the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, and his reluctance to make real time adjustments when he's seeing that the Washington Commanders are having like team meetings in the backfield whenever we were trying to run the ball in the fourth quarter. Like what? And Calcaterra, him letting people get by him. Like, you know. I feel like it's very skeptical moving forward as we're getting closer to the playoffs that we might not be able to do this with efficiency, you know? So I just wanted to get your take on that. Like, I feel like the offense at times can get not creative when it comes to getting Saquon the ball and moving the sticks. Because if you see that they're loading the box, I'm feeling, you know, well, maybe it's because it's Pickett and there's an inability to make the right audible or something. So I just want to get your take on that.
Well, I mean, it did feel like the offense didn't lack sort of this dynamic explosiveness to it yesterday, other than just, you know, throwing it down one-on-one, A.J. and Marshawn Lattimore and getting some pass interferences. Most of our passing plays were all, like, out routes, right? Yeah. Like, outs or slant-based routes. Here's my thing. It's hard for me to figure out. Is that a Jalen Hurts game plan that Kenny Pickett was running yesterday, or would it be different if they had an entire week to put a game plan around Kenny Pickett? I don't know how much different that would look. I honestly don't know.
Well, and to remember, Khalil, Kenny Pickett isn't running anything with the first team all
right. He gets very little snaps.
And so I agree with you in concept that I would like him to adjust it, but in reality. I don't know if there's an entire other package because this entire offense
that was the game plan for yesterday
is created for Jalen to be quarterback, for Saquon to be all that stuff. And I wonder, I agree with you again conceptually, but I wonder if that makes it even more complicated and harder to do on the run with all the other players too, with the offensive line who's used to blocking a certain way, with Saquon who's used to getting the ball. I'm not making excuses, but I also don't know that answer about how easy it is to change that game plan 10 plays into the game.
Because it got real frustrating for them to see them not move the sticks when it really mattered. Because I feel like if they chewed the clock up, that would have helped with the game win, you know, especially, you know, down.
Dude, we had one possession. Did they have the ball like 8 minutes?
Right.
Didn't the Eagles have a drive where they just kept dinking and dunking?
They did. I think it was the first drive of the second half. Yeah. I think they had the ball for eight or nine minutes. Yeah, I don't.
I think we only got a field goal out of it.
You know, and then Khalil, thank you for the call. I watched the condensed thing again this morning, and I do think that Elliott mentioned this, and I agreed with him when I rewatched it. I thought Pickett did a better job than I thought when I was watching it. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have that rhythm that when the Eagles' offense is rolling that we've gotten used to. But I also think it's easy to forget how out of rhythm our offense has looked generally in the first half of games this year, the Pittsburgh game aside. In that we have had a lot of occasions with Jalen in there where the offense cannot get going until the second half of the game. So
they actually got off to a fast start yesterday.
Yes, they did.
We got 14 points.
It looked like we were going to score 50 points, actually. Yeah. It's funny that long Saquon run, the 65-yard or whatever, happened with Pickett in there.
Yeah.
Because they were up 7-0, I think, when Hurts went out, right? Mm-hmm. And then Pickett threw the touchdown pass to A.J.
Yep.
Then they scored, and then we went – did we go up 21-7?
Yeah, I think we were. Yeah,
yes. We were up 21-7.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. Ty in Maryland. You're on WIP. What's up, Ty?
First time caller, and so happy to have a chance to talk to you guys. We really enjoy you. You know, we're down here. We live in a sea of commanders. And so one of the issues that we're not used to is a Monday losing. So a losing Monday. So, you know, I've been an Eagle fan all my life. I'm 73 years old. My grandson is 11 years old, and he's a diehard. I think he collected the Eagle thing from his mother and me and his grandmother. But anyway, we're just we had a tough time last night. But listen, we have total confidence in the team. We are definitely concerned about the defensive penalties, totally uncalled for. You take away those, you take away the special teams and, you know, the mistakes there, and we win the game. So we have total confidence. We've been on the phone waiting to talk to you for an hour and 8 minutes. And it wasn't me. It was my grandson who came up to visit me today because your school's off. He wanted to talk to you. He had to go back home with his mom just a few minutes ago, but it was him. It just shows you, you know, the fans that exist throughout here. And being a middle schooler now, you know, he takes a lot of pride when he goes to school on Monday talking about the Eagles. Also, he wanted to make and one fellas. Other point about, you know, about Jalen and how invaluable Jalen is to us. And it was demonstrated when he went down yesterday. We wish him the best of luck. And before I hang up, I just want to tell you again, living down here, having the opportunity to listen to you guys who do a phenomenal job in helping us stay in tune to the Eagles is invaluable.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate that,
appreciate
Ty.
That,
I actually think, Ty, it's a little disturbing how many middle school boys enjoy the show, and I think it speaks to our sense of our particular sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
I think resonates with boys that age. So I appreciate the call. Now, Ty, you're from up here and you moved down there?
We grew up, my wife and I, we grew up in the Trenton area.
Okay.
So, you know, we were Eagle fans from there. We lived in Connecticut for 35 years, but then when my grandson was born and we retired, we moved down to Maryland to be close to our family down here. And what a joy it is. And I tell you, the number of Eagle fans just in our neighborhood, my wife is listening and shaking her head, is phenomenal. We have a base that you just can't believe. I mean, it's really very powerful. We have a lot of fun with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, Ty. Merry Christmas, and if we don't talk to you, Happy New Year as well.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to both you guys. Thank you.
All right, Ty. Ty was so nice that I wanted to drop the Jalen thing. I knew I could feel Jack was warming up a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. You two stop being uncomfortable.
What?
With the importance of Jalen Hurts as the quarterback here. I mean, it's okay to acknowledge his significance to the offense and what he means to the offense.
Sure.
Tush push aside.
Sure.
It's okay to acknowledge that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hope so.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, act like you, like, you know, it's green goggles when people talk about Jalen is his importance to the offense.
But, it's just a little over the top.
Well, right. It's not over the top.
Yesterday did not validate how amazing Jalen. They scored 26 points without him.
Well, yeah, I'm not going the whole amazing, amazing Jalen.
Well,
you said that.
Well, Elliot told me that yesterday.
I didn't say anything about how amazing he is.
Elliot said, and a lot of people have echoed this, including another former Eagles linebacker, this is another reason why Jalen deserves to be in the MVP consideration.
Oh, that was Seth.
To where I vehemently disagree.
Listen. We don't subliminally diss around here. Call it straight out.
No, I love Seth.
I got your back. Don't
just
worry.
Just a little over the top.
I'll talk him down.
Well, I think they're both crazy. I mean, there's nobody, mm-hmm. maybe one or two, mm-hmm. who think that Kenny Pickett is better than Jalen Hurts. They should
have. Nobody thinks that.
Yeah.
Even Kenny Pickett.
They should have a step down from Jalen Hurts to Kenny Pickett. But what I would ask people like Seth and Elliot, this is the question I would ask them. If their loss proves the value of Jalen Hurts, then I would ask you this. If DeVonta Smith catches that ball and runs into the end zone, then does that proof go away? If DeVonta Smith catches that ball and they win with Kenny Pickett, and does it mean that Jalen Hurts doesn't mean anything, right? Like we know that the starting quarterback means more to the team than Kenny Pickett. You don't have to just sit around waiting for. We all know that. That's proof. I think
we don't hear it enough.
Well, when we're having conversations, But when we're having conversations about Jalen, it's about the other really good quarterbacks in the league, and compared to and how this offense can run. That's it.
Right.
It has nothing to do with him versus Kenny Pickett.
Well, no, I agree with you on that. I agree with that. I think what it really is saying is not the results base, because I agree. DeVonta catches that ball. I don't know if anybody coming from that angle, that's a moot point. I would look at it as I watched the offense throughout the day and how it looked.
Sure.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about Jalen and his importance to the offense. The offense looked vanilla. Because there was nothing dynamic about the quarterback, at least with Jalen. You may argue he's not Josh Allen, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's a hell of a lot more dynamic than a lot of other quarterbacks that you would put back there just to play quarterback.
I would agree there. I mean, that is one of the things that makes the Eagles difficult to play defense against is his ability to run.
Watched his defense look so much better as that game went on, as they realized, we don't have to worry about the quarterback doing anything, but just getting rid of the ball quickly. I mean, that's all. Washington was just basically saying, you're not running the ball on us.
Right. Go ahead, throw it.
Yeah.
And that's why I still keep going back to why didn't Kenny Pickett run the ball once or twice off of that, that shotgun or pistol, whatever they were in, the RPO formation. I just think he has the ability to do it. To go back to Foles would do it occasionally.
I bet you he would do it this week.
He would have to.
Yeah.
He would have to.
Part of being that guy, when you go in there, you also don't want to do anything to mess anything up.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I want to play, but I can't get too reckless out here playing.
Right. I just need him, Kenny, if you're in there, I need you to not think about next season and the other teams watching
you. Yeah,
because
you're already here. He's under contract. He's not going anywhere. You're not a free agent.
I need you to go in there and go balls out and win the friggin' football game is what I need. These safety, and the other thing, last thing, on Pickett.
Who he played, didn't want to find A.J. yet, I know that much.
Well, he found him.
And again, Pickett played pretty good. But could you act like when you're handing it off to Saquon, it was like a little bit of hot potato. Everyone knew he wasn't going to run, even the way he handed it off.
Yeah.
He stood there like there was no chance. Again, the thing that Foles would do this thing every time where he would kind of act like he would run the other way every single time.
Carry out the fake.
Yeah.
Carry out the play action.
Kenny was just like, oh, here you go. He just wanted like no parts of it on the handoff. Like, come on, man.
Spike Eskinson. Take him out.
Well, no, I was just like I was
win a football game.
It was you could win the football game yesterday,
and well, of course,
and they had a chance to win the football game. So, Jack, we haven't done this in a while with the top five at five, where you're handing out blames.
I know.
Come on, man.
What? It's been 10 weeks.
What do you mean to do?
Yeah.
I don't know what. You do whatever you need to do.
Yeah. Who are you going to blame?
Give out game balls.
Yeah.
No game balls. It's time for finally some accountability.
Yeah, post-Super Bowl win Philadelphia, we hand out game balls even after the losses, right? All right, so Jack's Top 5 of 5 is next. We will hand out blames. We will also talk to you, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.